Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton answers some tough questions about security in Benghazi before that September 11th, 2012 attack on the U.S. consulate that killed the U.S. ambassador and other U.S. officials. Clinton had emotional words in her opening statement for the impact those deaths had on her, and she took responsibility for the incident.
I stood next to President Obama as the Marines carried those flag-draped caskets off the plane at Andrews. I put my arms around the mothers and fathers, the sisters and brothers, the sons and daughters, and the wives left alone to raise their children. It has been one of the great honors of my life to lead the men and women of the State Department and USAID. Nearly 70,000 serving here in Washington, more than 270 posts around the world. They get up and go to work every day, often in difficult and dangerous circumstances, because they believe, as we believe, the United States is the most extraordinary force for peace and progress the world has ever known.
After her opening statement, Clinton then faced questions from Republican senators who wanted to know if the security problems in Libya were overlooked in the months leading up to the attacks, and if the first reports from the government were deliberately misleading about what was eventually revealed to be a premeditated terrorist attack on a U.S. target. Clinton was questioned about what U.N. Ambassador Susan Rice told the world the Sunday after the attacks. Here's an exchange between Clinton and Idaho Senator James Risch.
Did you select Ambassador Rice to deliver the message to the American people?
No, I did not, Senator. And let me take this opportunity to address this, because obviously, even though I haven't had a chance to testify, I certainly have seen the resulting debate and concerns about this. You're right. It was a terrorist attack. I called it an attack by heavily armed militants.
Well done.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, joins me now. What do you make of the questioning? What do you make of the demeanor of Secretary Clinton? This hearing is part goodbye and tough grilling.
Yeah, and there's some call for accountability, of course, from Republicans in particular on the committee. A lot of questions about what not only the process within the State Department to evaluate the security requests that were coming in before the attacks in Benghazi, but also public statements and what was done afterward. You heard Secretary Clinton there say that she was not directly responsible for the debate over statements that UN Ambassador Susan Rice made afterward, John, that it was other issues, a video, if you recall, that caused this attack in Benghazi. Secretary Clinton said in that moment, people forget that they were focused on attacks and large crowds outside the embassy in Cairo, protests outside the embassies in Tunisia, as far away as India, and that she wasn't focused on talking to the media, that was between the intelligence community and the White House to choose Susan Rice to speak and to choose her talking points about what she said.
Well, that's the Secretary Clinton story there. The force seems to have gone out of some of the Republican arguments on the debt ceiling. The initiative now before the House and being talked about by leaders in the Senate as well seems to delay the cliffhanger that we were talking about as recently as 3 weeks ago.
Delay it, but not get rid of it, John. Here's what the House is doing today. We've seen the fights over the debt ceiling and the expiration of the debt limit and Republican threats, in fact, Republican actions last year to use that expiration as leverage over Democrats, the threat of a default, as leverage to get spending concessions out of the White House. What the House is doing today is saying, all right, we'll vote to raise the debt ceiling for 3 months. It's not a monetary increase in the debt limit. It's a time increase. We'll let the Treasury borrow until May 19th. What they're doing is kind of capitulating at the moment. President Obama said he wouldn't negotiate over that. And it is a win, a small win for Obama right now, but that's not important. What's really important is how this repositions the big debate over debt and deficits, entitlement and taxes, which is still going on. What Republicans are trying to do and what they're hoping to do by delaying the debt limit for just a few months is to reset the argument. Let's keep in mind and just go back back very quickly. Remember, Simpson, Bowles, and the other sort of budget economic wonks around Washington have said, we have to cut about $4 or $4.5 trillion, John, from the debt in order to get us on a sound economic debt footing. Well, with all of the arguments that we've had over the last couple of years, the Budget Control Act, the debt limit fights, spending fights, tax increases that President Obama extracted in the last month here, they've really done an okay job so far. They've cut about $2.2 trillion from the debt. They've gotten about halfway there. That's the good news, and you might not know that thinking, watching all the fights that we've had. The bad news, John, is that really that was the easy stuff because nobody has really talked in a serious way yet about cutting Medicare or Social Security or Medicaid or defense, the parts of our spending where all the money really is. What Republicans are saying here is we're going to give you a reprieve on the debt limit part of this. But Senate, you now have to take some political risks. We're going to make you pass a budget blueprint that puts you on the hook for what your priorities are for cutting the budget and try to gain a little bit of advantage because, John, on the debt, the easy stuff has been done, as hard as that is to believe, and the hard stuff is what remains over the next couple of months here.
Speaking of hard stuff, filibuster reform, am I dreaming?
That, John, something is going to happen on filibuster reform in the next 24 hours or so. Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell in the Senate have been negotiating over a Democratic threat to change the filibuster rules and try to, you know, get the Senate moving better than it has been in the last 3 years with the countless hundreds of cloture motions and filibuster fights that have gone on. They don't have an agreement yet. And what Harry Reid said yesterday is that if an agreement isn't reached within the next 24 to 36 hours, he will push a rules change on the floor with what's called the nuclear option. Democrats will do it themselves with 51 votes instead of the traditional 67 that you need to change the Senate rules. What you need to know about that move is it will enrage Republicans and it will set a tone for this 113th Congress that's possibly even more sour than the one we had last time. It won't be the filibuster reform that liberals and progressives really want. It's weaker than that. But if they use this nuclear option, John, it will not get the 113th Senate off to a very nice start.
Unfortunate, but unfortunately familiar. A possible divisive beginning to the second term and this Congress. So Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, thanks so much.
Pleasure, John.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable development in communities across the country. More at rockfound.org.